You're listening to Disturbing the Priest with Brandon Baddock.
I want to talk about this upcoming U.S. tour. What do you look forward to most about this tour?
We love to tour the U.S. first of all. This is our fifth U.S. tour actually that we're going on. So we had three U.S. tours last year, and our first U.S. tour was in October 22. So we're looking forward to go back to some places we've been to before, but also some new places. We're also looking forward to a festival in New Jersey called Dark Force Fest. That's going to be very exciting. A lot of good bands there. So we're very stoked and excited to get over again. And we have our largest audience in the US by far. So it's a great crowd always. So we're just happy to be over and present some new songs, actually, because we're coming with a new album in May, it seems. So we're going to premiere some new tracks for you as well. So we're stoked, excited about it.
Very, very exciting, man. I hope to see you in Dallas.
In Dallas.
Yeah.
We play Sundown at Granada, right? I think so.
I'll have to look back. Yeah. Very exciting, man. You guys, you put out so much. The stream of new music coming out of you guys is pretty impressive. With so much new music coming out, how do you go about like putting together a set list for a show?
We're modifying a set list. We have a set list, then we pick and choose. Also depends on the length of the set we have, because if we support act, we of course have a shorter set. And we try to have the essentials then. If it's some place we haven't been before and we think the audience haven't been presented to us, we try to pick some old and new stuff to in order to make a good presentation of what Priest is, or what we stand for, what we have in our arsenal. But now we're gonna slip in some new stuff because we're gonna headline now in the US, so we have a longer set. So we're gonna have some maybe older songs we haven't played so much live before, along with brand new tracks that's gonna be unreleased at the time we're touring the US. So we're excited about it. It's gonna be fun. Also gives us a good reason to renew our set list a little bit. So I hope people will appreciate that.
Very exciting, man. I cannot wait to see you guys. Now,
yeah,
you
looking
know,
forward. Let us know, because we put you on the list in Dallas. Yeah, you know, sure.
Hell yeah, man. Totally, 100%. Very, very awesome. Exciting. Now, I love, getting into Priest. I've really kind of gotten into synths and like other synth wave bands, I guess. Awesome. How do you guys go about finding the right synths to use to capture your sound?
Yeah, we had some synths already in the arsenal. You know, my father is a musician and has a lot of synths since I was a kid. So we already had some old synthesizers, like a Moog Model D, the Mini Moog, and some other, like a Roland D20, and some other basic older synths from 70s and 80s. So we try to stay with those brands. We love the Moog synthesizer. It's perfect for doing the bass sounds. It's round, warm, deep. And really good at arpeggios. It's a monophonic synthesizer. And for the more pad-like, I love the Prophet sound. So we have a Prophet Rev 2 in the studio right now. And I just ordered a Behringer Solina string ensemble, the 70s string machine.
That's awesome.
Super expensive, of course, but Behringer have made it like a replica of it, a clone of it, that's really, really cheap. So if you want to get that Jean Michel Jarre string sound, that's the way to go, you know. So I'm excited about getting some new gear home now. So, but it's a matter of try and see also what fits the music. What do we want? The first album we did was a 80s sounding record. So we borrowed like a you know, old synthesizers from the 80s, DX7, DX9,
Cool.
Yamaha, and some other synths we couldn't have. We didn't have them, so we had friends drove them over to the studio, and we used them over a day. Then they drove them back to their, you know. So we sometimes we just borrow if you know that somebody have an old synthesizer. We just try to borrow it if you don't have time to search for one or afford it. Now, but now we have all the gear. Actually, we get if we buy new stuff now, it's just because we think it's like fun to have a new gadget. We already have everything covered. We can do 20 albums with the gear we already have. So to be honest, you can do an album with a micro Korg. You know, you have everything you need in a micro Korg, and you have good bass, you have good strings, pads, good monophonic sounds, you've got good polyphonic sounds, you have so it, I mean, we can do an album with only a micro Korg if we want to, but it's more fun to have really cool stuff. So yeah.
Cool, really cool to hear, man. Because I, you know, it's not like a traditional band where I feel like with this you kind of build up a collection of just
Yeah.
other synthesizers, like all these, you know, vintage ones, maybe some more modern ones.
Yeah.
Very interesting to hear, man. Now, I'm curious to know, after playing metal, what made you want to kind of pursue a synth wave, sound for your next project?
It was actually an old idea because when I was younger, before I played any string instrument, basically, oh, okay, I played some bass and stuff, but my dad had already like an Atari 1040 old computer connected with like the synthesizers and like a re tape recorder. You could record on tape if you so. I already was familiar with the music, the basic digital music production, old school way, before. So I had all a dream of having a synth pop band back in when I was younger. So
Wow.
then, of course, I started music school and started in pop rock bands. So of course, then the natural way was to play string instrument or bass in my case, and so continue with that for like 10 years and joined different bands and even oh yeah some metal bands as well, and then after that I felt it was time to dust off that old dream basically, and also gather everything I've learned through being in different bands. And what I thought was fun with different bands, and what I thought was good, or, you know, what could I do something better? Could I change something? Yeah. So I think the band you refer to is a theatrical band, and I love the theatrics of that. And I brought that along into a electronic band instead. So I just tried to mix and match together what I loved about having a lot of musical experience and being in different bands. So it was a natural progression, you can say.
I think you said once in the past that you just didn't want the party to stop, you know, which is so funny.
Why would you? Why would you want the
Exactly.
party to
Yeah.
stop, you know?
Ex
If
exactly. Exactly.
you
Now
can make
I
it continue, make it continue, you know?
why not? Nothing wrong with that at all. And it was so, and it's so cool to hear about that in your past, because this pro like Priest, especially when I first heard the new the first record, the debut, so organic in its sound and original, and it's like, wow, it feels like this was what you were supposed to be doing all along, because
Yeah,
it
thank you.
sounds so true, to yourself as like a visionary. Do you
Yeah.
remember the first Priest song you ever wrote?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a tricky question, because not tricky at all, actually, but I know the first song I wrote that I knew was gonna be Priest, and that was a song called The Pit,
Interesting.
but some of the material that ended up in Priest was actually written before. Some material were written years before that. that I just, when Priest already was up and running, I backtracked some, you know, old projects in Logic or whatever I recorded with. And at one time I actually found an old, you know, Tascam recorder, you know, pocket recorder, and I just switched it on. It was old. So, and then I found that I've been recording some songs on guitar on that one that was years old. So, and that ended up, I think the oldest song is the one called Call My Name. And that's actually one of the songs I found in an old Tascam pocket recorder. And that might have been from like 2009 or something, maybe something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. But The Pitch was the first like defining song I think we wrote that we knew was going to be for this new project, which eventually was called Priest.
Well, I was going to ask how much you feel your creative process as a musician has grown since being a Ghost, but I feel like it's been going on a lot longer. Like I had no idea you've been you know, working on this kind of music since like the 2000s.
Yeah,
that's wild. How much do you feel your creative process has grown from now to then?
A lot, but yeah. I mean, the first recordings I did was on that tape recorder, early 90s, basically. Mid 90s.
Wow.
But that was just, you know, demos, very. So, but I started music school in maybe, what was it, 98, 99 or something. So we did some recordings back then, but that was, not very good. I'm never going to release that. But then I've basically been playing and recording in different, like, small bands since then. So I have a lot of, even if it was not bigger bands, it was like a lot of, you know, experience and studio experience, even if it was not like big budget studios. There's small studios driven by people we knew, some studios bigger, some studios smaller. Among others, we recorded some demo stuff in a studio which later was used to record the first Ghost album, which was recorded in Linköping in Sweden, where I'm from. So, but you gain experience all the time. I think it's a natural progress. You start out, you don't know as much, and then you build on to your knowledge. And I know a lot more. Today I can say I think I can produce a whole record, not mix it, but I think I can produce a record. I wouldn't say that if 5 years ago, I wouldn't say that I can write a record back then, but not maybe produce it. Today, because I've been staring over the shoulder of a producer for 5 years now. So now I think I learned a lot now. So now I have my own studio since 1 year back. But I've been touring all the time, so I haven't been in it so much. But now it's time to like doing, I will try to do my best to produce now. So it's going to be, but I'm going to call our producer anyways to double check everything.
Better be safe, you know, nothing wrong with that.
But it's an organic process. You learn all the time. You know how it is, you know, it's a building process. I'm a better songwriter today.
Man, it's crazy. The quality of consistency, you know, of like every new single is like, wow, this is so good. Burning Love is fantastic. So good. And it's like holds up to the band's best material, in my opinion. Now I want to go back to New Flesh. You were talking about producers. You were working with the same producer that was on Opus. Right.
Yeah.
How are you still working with him?
Yeah. Wow. We're good friends. So he produced the latest album that's going to be released later this year. And we're already talking about starting when to start up the production, maybe of the next one. Yeah, actually. So we'll see here. We see how much time he have. But
Yeah.
now when I'm gonna produce a little more from the start, it's gonna be maybe more of a collaborative production solution for us. Like I'm gonna be the like co-producer more of and maybe we produce together instead. So we'll see. We
Cool.
stick with each other, you know. So I think it's a good collaboration we have going. And I'm gonna be trying. I have another guy in the US. We're in discussion of trying maybe one song or two right now, just to get another flavor of the production. But we're just starting out those conversations right now. We've sent some tracks back and forth, but we're not in talk to produce an album or something. We're just trying to see what we can find and if there's some other sonic ideas that we can like explore and stuff. But yes, that's true. He produced the first Simon Söderberg produced the first Ghost record, Opus Eponymous, also.
Cool. Cool. You were talking about Dark Pulse, which is coming out soon, kind of. You were saying you're already looking at the next project. How far in the future are you looking right now?
A couple of years,
Okay.
but yeah, because we started a process with the new like costume designs as well. So
Cool.
deadline for that is in about a year or something. So
Cool.
we're planning to have a new visual concept and a new album ready. Deadline is 1 year, but that means maybe it takes a little bit longer. We'll see.
Of course. Well, the Priest fans are eating good because there's always stuff coming out. Like there's always stuff to look forward to, and I feel like there's always a single every time I check
Yeah,
the
good.
band's page. It's
Good.
very awesome.
Yeah.
Now New Flesh, I have to ask, what was the writing recording process of this record?
It was mostly my projects that I've written at home at that time on the computer, but I did them very simple ones because in order to give room for production, you know. So I don't want to I didn't want to produce it because I was limited because of my limited knowledge in production at that time. I didn't want to starting to try to produce it if I could take just the skeletons of the songs into the studio and let a professional producer do it instead. So,
Interesting. Yeah.
but I tried to have the bass lines or the chord progressions and the vocal melodies and lyrics as ready as I can make them before I go to the studio. So studio work is only going to be execution of the production and not too much of composition and additional, you know, try to figure out the songs more. I like to do that at home. So, and it's some songs I co-wrote with the singer at that time. The Pit, we co-wrote the lyrics together, for example, and some songs I co-wrote with Simon, the producer, also, because sometimes he had good ideas of how to maybe improve the melodies and or prolong a verse or like change a chord here and there. So that we co-wrote some of the material also. But most 95% basically, or 90% was me writing at home on the computer. And then we took it to the studio to execute the production.
Cool. I feel like some of the early days of the band were very DIY. Is that still the case with the future stuff coming out?
Yeah, no, I mean DIY.
Like do it yourself, you know,
Yeah,
very
I know,
hands-on.
I know, yes, it is, but when does DIY become, you know, a regular production? Like,
Yeah, true. In this day and age, honestly.
yeah, because I mean, yeah, for sure, it was DIY, but we had a studio with good gear, Not you can't compare it to a professional studio, you know, like a big one, like, you know, but we had a room with good listening and good speakers and some good synths, and I mean a good producer. So yeah, half DIY but half also semi-professional, I think. But we are DIY, we have our own record label, and we don't, except from like hiring a master engineer and a producer, we do most of the stuff ourselves, like, you know, maybe a person that does artwork for the album, but all the cover design, we do, having the label ourselves, and we're pretty hands-on on most parts of the production. So you can call it DIY, but we're getting better at it, so maybe soon we are more professional than DIY. I don't know.
Well, I feel like, you know, what's so cool about you guys like being more hands-on is 'cause you guys have that big sound already. Like even looking at the album art, hearing the music, the band's image, you guys already are theatrical, have this big production. So, you know, as a fan, I definitely admire that, and it's really cool to hear. And I kind of prefer that with some of the music I listen to,
Oh,
how
thanks, Brandon.
hands-on the band is. Now, as we're on the subject, what do you guys use to record your music? Like Pro Tools?
Logic.
Logic?
Because it was the DA DAW that we both moi and the producer used at the time, but I'm familiar with some other DAWs as well, like Cubase. But I haven't got into Pro Tools. I know that probably is the standard, but it's this basically the same.
It is, yeah.
I mean, it so Logic at the moment, but I'm gonna try to actually get away from the computer a little bit. I have an Octatrack now, which you can do a lot with,
Wow.
I'm awaiting like a mixing, a little mixing table that you can record it directly onto your SD card, and try to like figure out other ways of doing the demo recordings at least, and then you can bring it to the studio with the in Logic and maybe do the later part of the production in the computer, but maybe try to start out a little more with just without having a screen in front of you, you know, just a little more hands-on on the hardware that you have, you know. That's
Cool. A little more analog, I guess, in a
yeah
sense.
yeah yeah yeah
Cool,
yeah
cool.
that's it sounds better for some reason, I don't know. It's getting static if you use too much software, at least for me. You can of course make it sound organic and big or whatever, but it then you have to go into other plugins or, you know, tweak it while on your, when you have your analog gear, you can be just hands-on. It's more fun to you know, turn the knobs and faders and stuff. But it's
Totally,
a nice
man.
feel. Yeah.
Dark Pulse is coming out very soon. Very, very exciting, man. This new album. How does Dark Pulse stand out from the rest of the band's catalog?
I think it's gonna be the darkest album. It's a bit risky lyric wise. It's the first
Interesting.
album that we're gonna have the parental advice parental advisory
Wow.
logo on, because I don't think some songs are suitable for kids and stuff, so and the children. But it's a fun record. It's tongue in cheek, even if we go a little, you know, heavy on the explicit side. It's always done with a little tongue in cheek, you know. We try to get more genres in there. We have some acid track, basically some acid influences, and we have
Interesting.
more techno. We also, of course, have the pop melodies and everything, but I think it's, for me, it's the best album we've done so far. But you always say that about your latest record.
Well, I
I
believe it,
think
man.
some people we played it for, they also, most of them think that too. So I think for those who still favor New Flesh as the best record, which I can understand because it stands out in its own way for many reasons. I think this is going to be the record that sounds most like New Flesh, but with a much, you know, a grittier touch to it, basically. Yeah.
Cool, cool. Very, very exciting, man. How long has this record been in the works for?
Because we were out touring, we had to like try to find time when we're back at home to produce it. But we started actually the recordings back in 2022.
Wow.
Then we did it like bits and pieces here and there during 2023. So we sent, it was ready in October, basically, but then we mixed it for a while and then sent it to mastering. So it took a lot longer time to do this one, but that's only because we were away touring all the time. Otherwise, it would have taken like a couple of weeks, I think, effectively.
Yeah.
But not to write it. Writing takes longer than production, I think. So it's that's if you do a good work writing, the production is more, you know, easygoing, I think.
Yeah.
So the preparations is always, if you're well prepared, then it's much easier in the studio, I think.
Interesting. What is the creative chemistry like between bandmates when putting together new music?
It's more like it's mostly me and the producer in the studio, and when we need some parts, we bring in the additional musicians, and then they play their parts basically and come with their input, and then we see what works or not, and it's just trial and error. We always say, like, in the studio, the ego should be left at the door by your shoes when you take your shoes off. If you take off your shoes, which we mostly do in Sweden, but it's the ego should be there too. So you don't bring your ego into the studio, because then we're there in the service of the music, in service of the songs. We're not there in service of having right or wrong, you know, or having like, so which is hard sometimes you like feel for something that much, and then you feel bad if it get voted down or whatever, but then maybe you realize that's okay, this was best for the song. And if you don't think so, you bring it up again and say, oh, I think this is wrong, I think it's better for the song to sound like this.
Yeah,
so we try to keep that, and as long as that's something you can do, you know, then it's a very fun and pleasant process to be in the studio. But with that said, yeah, me and the producer, we can disagree also, and then it's but we are mostly iron it out. But sometimes you feel, oh, I really want that part to stay the way it was, but then you realize that, yeah, maybe he was right, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad things are a little more healthier behind the curtain nowadays.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Sure. Yeah. No, yeah, it's I never, well, been in some bands, so of course it's not always easy. But
egos especially.
Yeah. Well, yeah, tell me about it.
I know, right?
Everybody has an ego. That it's just a matter of how much do you want it to decide, dictate your, you know, choices and everything. Yeah.
And
sometimes you can take a step aside and just look at yourself, like, okay, what am I doing right now? Is this valid or not? You know, maybe. But yeah, it's much more healthy, and it feels really exciting, actually. So I'm very glad things turned out the way they have, and it's a pretty exciting journey to be on, and I see we have many years ahead of of creating and touring or and create, yeah, having fun basically.
Yeah.
But it's not only fun, it's a lot of hard work, of course, especially if you do it yourself. It's a lot of business things, so it's a small part of the time you actually do music or touring or playing. Most part is like sitting at the computer, answering emails or making phone calls. That's the reality, but that's what you sign up for. So
yeah, the business side of everything.
Business.
Cool. Well, I do also want to touch upon, I love the band's look and image. I think it's such a perfect representation of the music. What do you pull from in terms of inspirations for your look? Because like, some of it reminds me of a Phantom of the Paradise, that movie, and other places in pop culture. What do you pull from for inspiration?
It's of course, it's a mix and match there. I love Phantom of the Paradise, so
awesome.
We had it basically for inspiration to the second mask we had for along with some other, maybe the Batman head that laughs and
that's awesome.
Hellraiser and Terminator along with some maybe Ghost. But yeah, second era.
Yes. It's a great, I like I said earlier, it's just such a good, honestly, even more than Ghost, I feel at this point, just such a good representation of the sound. You know, it's like you see the band and then you hear the music and you're like, oh, that makes sense. That tracks.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I think so too. I try to expand on what I didn't like. I still think the era, Ghost era 2, of course, because I was playing bass at that era. When I played at that time, I thought this is the coolest looking band in the world at the moment. I really thought that. Now, not so much, but
unfortunately,
but I just try to make it look slimmer and cooler and more leather, you know. Also, what I learned in Ghost was to maybe have the contrast, the visual style could contradict the music. Because everybody who saw the pictures of Ghost at the time, or vice versa, heard the music and then saw the pictures or the band photos. Which in my case, because I heard the Ghost demos or the Ghost music way before they had a visual concept photographed. When I saw the concept, I was like, whoa, okay. So it was like, that was a exciting, I thought. So I just continued on that. But we still have the heavier stuff that goes super good with the image, but we still also have some lighter, poppier stuff that might not, like, that's not what you expect. And I think that to have all that mixed together, I think, and if you have a good visual concept, I said this before, I say it again, it's act like a glue, like something that you can do gothy dark stuff, and you can also do pretty poppy stuff, happier stuff, and it's because of your image, it all fits together, like Robert Smith in The Cure, basically. If you see the lipstick and the hair, it doesn't matter if they do 3 minute pop song in major scales or 8 minute goth tracks, you know, it still works. But I think he acts as the glue that glues it all together. And if you have a strong visual concept, I think you can get away with more diverse music in your repertoire, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, when I first saw like what Ghost looked like, I thought it would sound like Behemoth or like Merciful Fate.
Yeah.
Or something, you know.
That sounded a little bit like Merciful Fate at some in the beginning.
On the first record, a little bit. Yeah, totally. Now with Priest, you guys have a lot of themes about humanity merging with technology. What interests you about this concept of man merging with machine?
It's a concept. I love cyberpunk. I love like Blade Runner, you know, the pop culture surrounding that way of thinking. And that's, of course, what I and many others grew up with in the 80s, and RoboCop and stuff like that. You know, when you're a kid, you can't forget that shit. You know, you want to continue. You don't want to party stuff, you know. But then if you go a little bit deeper philosophical, you can also ask questions about eternal life, or you know, the future of humanity, or are we going to stay human, or are we going to be post-humans merging with technology, or is that the way we're going to go, or is technology something we always going to be like? I think we're going to merge together. We already are basically going that way, but it's a good platform to get inspiration from. Actually, you can go many ways. You can go into simulation theory. Opens up questions for religion in technology, and you can go different ways with it. And it's still exciting to me to actually explore some themes in it. We do that, but we also take in human experiences, quote unquote, our own experiences into the material as well. So try to find a good blend of it and make it exciting for a listener to get into. And I also try to write the lyrics not too on the nose, maybe not explain too much. To make them more generic for people to interpret in their own ways, and also always trying to not make it too, you know, common, the things you heard before, always, you know, the same old love song over and over. I try to get something in the mix in there to make it stand out a little bit from the average songs, and having a platform like that, like the merging with machines or whatever, cyberpunk, that already gets the answer to that. So you can write a love song, but if you implement those factors from that platform, it's gonna be something can happen with the lyrics or the concept. So it's a fun way to exploring, but it's for Priest. I will probably continue doing other music at the side, but that will be completely different and maybe not have anything with technology or merging with machines to do at all. But in Priest, that's the concept. I'm going to stick with it. And it's exciting. I think it's very exciting because it's about our future. You know?
Yeah, it's such a cool concept. Do you see humanity fully being digitized at some point in its evolution?
If we aren't already, maybe, yes. I mean, if do you think that at some point in the future, like future, anytime in the future, we're going to be able to replicate real life digitally? Yeah.
Yeah, if we evolve enough without killing each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like, you know, and we might be talking millions, not even millions.
Yeah, maybe millions.
Maybe.
And if that is the case, that we at some point in the future will maybe do that, then the chance of us living in real reality, based reality, is very small. But that's just an argument for the believers in the simulation theory. But I don't know. We're starting to get, at least in digital images, we're starting to get very close to reality, at least to depicting reality. on a screen. It's very, very close with the new Unreal Engine and everything. So it's just a matter of years before we can't see the difference at a screen, at least. So that's but that's just one thing. Then to replicate a 3D environment for real, with all the parameters and quantum physics and everything that's going on, it's going to be probably very, very, very hard. Take very high amount of computer CPU. but I wouldn't say never. I hope maybe I don't know. I don't know. Actually, it's hard.
Interesting. Yeah, it is hard because it's like it's such a you can go. It can go in so many places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's hard to really even pinpoint what might actually happen. But it's such a cool concept. Now, Signal and the Noise was featured on Hot Seat, the new Mel Gibson movie, which is awesome. What was your reaction to finding out they wanted this song for the film?
Stoked. I mean, I'm a big fan of Mel Gibson. I think he was one of the coolest, if you can say, action heroes of the 80s and 90s also. And Mad Max, you know. And so it was surreal to know that it's going to be in the same movie as he. And we also was looking at the concept of the movie. It's a cyber thriller with Mel Gibson playing a bomb bomb expert that's gonna the villain have placed bombs and he's gonna take the bombs out basically, but it's also have hacking elements, so we thought it was a good fit for our music to be in that movie as well. We probably would have said yes anyway, but I'm stoked about it, and it's got a very good reception. And some people actually came up to the shows, wanted us to sign the cover of Hot Seat, because that's where
that's
they
awesome.
Where they found us, you know. So I'm very happy about it. It's some kind of dream come true. So at the time I had to pinch myself a little bit just to see if it was real or not, you know. So I'm very proud and happy about that. So thank you to everybody involved in Hot Seat and to choose our song to accompany the start of the end titles in the movie.
Hell yeah. It's so cool to see how successful the band has gotten from, like, you know, we're getting headlining dates. It's been almost 10 years since you've been in your last band. How do you reflect on your exit from Ghost? Do you feel like the water has settled between both bands at this point?
Yeah. No. I mean, I moved on a long time ago mentally. And for me, for me, it's not thinking back on those times, it's nothing left for me to go back to and try to, you know.
You've grown so much since then, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years, 9 years or whatever it is now, it goes for everyone, right? I mean, but it was a long time ago I put it behind me. But I don't know about the bands. There was a lot, because there was like a lawsuit and stuff like that going on. It was like a trial stuff going on.
Yeah, very messy.
Yeah, and in the, what can you say, aftermath or during that, it was like a lot of people surrounding Ghost. That business people or whatever, it was like Priest were pretty much closed. They were closed doors into many into getting signed, into being played, getting airplay at radio stations and stuff like that, because there was an interest to keep a good relation with Ghost, because Ghost were the bigger band, and they want to keep their, you know, deals with Ghost and not maybe make them change record companies. There was a lot of anxiety going on, so there's a song called Blacklisted, which we did, and you can you can apply it on anything, but that's have some root in maybe those times, which I still can feel also. But and that's also a big reason why we do everything ourselves now, because there was a lot of closed doors in Sweden, at least, because of that. So it, but I, me personally, and I'm the band leader, you can say, or priest, I didn't have anything to do with the trial or anything. So it was very strange for me to experience those things, actually. So,
yeah,
but that's showbiz, you know, that's a part of showbiz. And what do you do? You want to, you don't, you just move on and take the next step. And part of me is pretty glad that we did, because now we are in full control of all the aspects of our what we are doing. We're not having a record label that says, telling us what to do. We don't have a maybe a management or whatever, you know. So it's a nice feeling to be in control over everything. If you do something wrong, it's on you. But if that wouldn't have happened, I think we would be in another position, you know, popularity wise than we are today. Because how does a band get popular? Yeah, you get help from record labels, you with bigger budgets, you have a management that works for you, you have a P, you have money to pay a PR agency. And if you have all those, you automatically will rise your band to another, completely other level. But that means all the people around you have to believe in you and throw money at you, basically. So and if that isn't the case, it's a smaller world, you know, for you. But I like it. I think also we embarked on a different genre here, which we in Sweden, we are one of the biggest synth bands, you can say. Not electronic bands, but in our genre, we're top three biggest according to streams and stuff like that. So it's
that's
it's
awesome.
A smaller genre. Yeah, it's not as the genre we're in is not as big as metal anyway. So it's you can't even compare it. But in the measurements of the genre we're in, we're actually one of the biggest. So not just. Now I'm talking too much, basically, but
It's all right.
That's not the main goal for us. I think we're pretty fine with being at exactly the level we are right now, because I mean, we're touring, we're having fun, we're doing records. So if we grow more, that will mean maybe more. Yeah, what comes with growing, other stuff's gonna happen, you know, and we have to involve more people and everything. That can be a good thing, but right now we're pretty satisfied with the size we have, because we have the opportunity to actually breathe a little right now after touring, I'm looking forward to maybe have some time off or something. I'm having time off now, but I'm working all the time anyways. But
you've got two albums that haven't even come out yet. From the band are still being worked on.
Yeah, I'm finishing up the lyrics of the other album here. So, now I'm rambling. Sorry, man.
It's all right, man. The more info, the better. And honestly, it's really cool to hear what you have to say about a lot of these subjects. Now, you know, as we wrap up here, I'm just curious. What is the future of Priest look like? What can fans really look forward to in terms of future endeavors?
They can always look forward to new exciting music. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to share it, to show it. And in the near future, you can be ready for a really great new Priest album called Dark Pulse. And it's available on ergul.com for a pre-order. It's soon going to be an Indiegogo campaign covering up the last of the costs for actually producing and printing an album.
Oh, cool.
So that's going to be online in a week or so. So check out our social media on Facebook. It's Priest Official there and Priest Official on Instagram. We'll give you all info there. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be cool. It's a bit gritty. And it's going to be some goodies there for you that you can't get anywhere else too. So check that out. We're going to be on tour in the US, March, April. So we're going to be there soon. Make sure you show up and get a, say hi to us also and have a good time. Come to the show. We're going to tour with Julian K and September Morning. So it's going to be a killer lineup. Be there, we
Hell
have
yeah.
other stuff in the making too. We're always working on new music. So just stick with us, like what we do on YouTube and follow us on the social media and you get all the info you need.
Hell
Thanks.
yeah. Awesome. Awesome to hear, man.
Thank you,
Mercury, thank you
Brandon.
so much for doing this, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure's all mine. Thank you, Brandon, for inviting me.
Of course, of course. Yeah, I literally when I messaged you or sent you an email, I literally called my podcast DTP. It's called Disturbing the Priest.
Why did
It's
you disturb me?
it's because it's based off the Black Sabbath album.
Yeah,
I'm
of
like,
course, of course. Yeah.
well, I'm like, uh-oh, that's probably a red
Yeah.
flag.
I thought it was funny.
For Mercury.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much, man. I'm Brandon
Thank you,
Baddick, and
Brandon.
this is Disturbing the Priest.
Oh, yeah.